The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Brad Sessmatt Show. I am Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy today. We got a lot to get to. There is a lot going on right now with the Arizona Cardinals, the Phoenix Suns, the Coyotes. It is a good time to be a sports talk person here in the state because there's a lot to talk about. Let's waste no time. We're going to jump into our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And first and foremost, Larry Fitzgerald. He is coming back. He signed another one-year contract with the Cardinals. No surprise, I would think. It seemed like he had kind of hinted that he would be coming back and that it was one of those things that I think last year just left a sour taste in his mouth, as it did for a lot of Cardinals fans, as it did for a lot of Cardinals players, as it did for a lot of members in the front office. And I think that he is still plenty able to contribute at the NFL level. Last year, 69 receptions, 734 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. And that was with Sam Bradford for part of your season and an offensive line and really minimal other receiving options out there. So he was still productive. I think in a Cliff Kingsbury setting, he can probably certainly surpass those numbers, and you add some depth around him, a second year for Josh Rosen, potentially adding to that offensive line. All of a sudden, he could be, I don't think it's out of the question that he's close to 1,000 yards receiving. I really don't. But I think the key here, obviously, is another year for Christian Kirk to learn from Larry Fitzgerald. If the Cardinals go wide receiver in one of their first two or three picks here in the NFL draft, depending on what they do, I've been vocal saying I think that they should, if they get the right deal and the right return, it would make too much sense to trade down. But Nick Bosa would be pretty darn great as well as a pass rusher to pair with Chandler Jones. But especially if they trade down, you use one of those first two picks on a wide receiver, one on an offensive lineman, or you also have those $70 million to work with in free agency. You bring in another receiver for in the very, very short term, all of a sudden you have a little bit of depth at wide receiver with Larry Fitzgerald, with whoever that third receiver is, and then Christian Kirk. You know, maybe Ricky Seals-Jones has a bounce back year. David Johnson is a good receiving running back, just really hasn't quite found his footing since his second year in the league. But then all of a sudden you have options for Josh Rosen. And I think that that is the key. Again, they've gone all in on Josh Rosen's development. They hired a coach who is a QB whisperer. They hired a quarterback coach and passing game coordinator, pseudo offensive coordinator, who is a passing guru and has worked with Josh Rosen's mentor in Aaron Rodgers, as well as Brett Favre. You can tell they're going all in on the passing game, and they're going all in on Josh Rosen. So the fact that Larry Fitzgerald is coming back, that's huge. That is a huge deal for Arizona sports fans, for the Cardinals. Also interesting, the timing. Because usually he's pretty front-facing. You have the Waste Management Open coming up. Typically, the past couple of years, I've gone down there to the Pro-Am, to the charity putting events, and Larry's been there, giving his time. And all the questions are about, Larry, what are you going to do? What's your future? That's been a half decade of that. And usually he likes to wait. Maybe he got tired of the questions. Maybe he wants to have different interviews at the Waste Management Open this year where it's, Larry, why'd you come back? What excites you about Cliff Kingsbury? Maybe it's that. I don't really know. Or maybe he just made up his mind and didn't want to drag it out now that he would be more front-facing. Got some time away from the game, but he's ready to go. Where he stands right now in the record books, he's second all-time in yards. He is third all-time in receptions. But he gets 22 next year, and he ties Tony Gonzalez, 23, and he passes that. He catches one more touchdown, and he's sixth all time in the NFL. Not bad for a third overall pick. way back in the day, I remember as a child being upset that the Cardinals won late in the season when you had Philip Rivers, you had Eli Manning coming into that draft, and the third overall pick became a pretty good consolation. That draft in particular is just insane. You have Eli Manning, you have Philip Rivers, you have Ben Roethlisberger. Two of the three are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I think maybe the most deserving quarterback hasn't won the Super Bowl yet in Philip Rivers. And then you have Larry Fitzgerald at pick number three. And that has been, he's on the Arizona sports Mount Rushmore. I don't think there's any question on that. And he's done so much for the community and has been vocal that he wants to stay here for as long as he's playing. So a huge get for the Cardinals to get him back, certainly. On the Suns end, there is a ton going on with the Phoenix Suns, whether you want to talk about potential trades, whether you want to talk about the arena, whether you want to talk about what the heck happened last night against the Timberwolves. We'll start with the fight. Devin Booker gets ejected from the game because he kind of got into it a little bit with a fellow Timberwolf. There was some jawing back and forth. And then apparently there were, as both of them got ejected, they were going to head to the tunnels and finish that. And as I saw, there was a references to potential missed atomic wedgies as the security guard was trying to hold Devin Booker back. And actually, Catherine Fitzgerald of AZ Central, good friend of Sports 360 AZ, she brought her art skills and kind of described what's going on after both players got ejected. So what happened was Jang got ejected, Devin Booker got ejected. Jang threw an elbow at Booker earlier on that upset Booker. He kind of gave him it wasn't even a slap. It was like a face push. And so refs got together. They ejected both of them. Booker had a technical foul earlier in the game, so he was gone. And then with Jang, they were just like, nope, you're gone. So they kind of looked at each other and said, you want to take this to the tunnel? So both of them ran separate directions on the tunnel. And of course, it meets, it's a nice big loop. But apparently security outside of the Suns locker room got to Jang, slowed him down and said, hey, it's not worth it. Go get in the Minnesota locker, which you can see at the top of that wonderful drawing. And then Booker got dragged back pretty quickly as well. So thank you to Catherine Fitzgerald. Again, through text, it was kind of tough to decipher, but thanks to her art skills, that is that's easy to see kind of what happened here. Look, on this side, is it a bad look for Devin Booker? Yes. But with my thing is, the frustration he has shown with opponents, with at times his teammates, when the mic picks up him yelling, what are you doing at the end of games, when really they're out of the game, it shows he cares. So I'd much rather have that than him signing a max contract and him just kind of being like, whatever, I cash my money. We've had those happen before, and it doesn't work out for the franchise. But you can tell he wanted to defend himself. He wanted to defend the Suns. And so to me, yeah, he could have gone about it a different way. I think if DeAndre Ayton isn't hurt, if Rashawn Holmes isn't hurt and they're out on the floor, I think this gets diffused a little bit quicker. Usually when you have the bigger bodies out there, these scuffles don't necessarily happen or happen as quickly, or they digress as quickly. So I think it's unfortunate, but it is, and I'm sure he's going to get, fined and potentially suspended. That's going to hurt the team, but he cares, and he's still fired up, and this team is still struggling. They don't have a point guard. We'll get to that in the next segment. Don't worry. But he cares. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. But at the same time, did many people know who Jang was before this scuffle, at least in Phoenix? It's kind of a, what is it? Lions don't concern themselves with the thoughts or actions of lambs or whatever that exact saying is. I sound like Socrates right now, I know. But he's one of the top, 15, 20 players in the league, depending on who you ask. I think personally he might be higher. But this guy's a role player. I'm sure to a degree, any role player wants to get under the skin a little bit of the star player because, Kevin Ray said it perfectly during the broadcast. When both players got ejected, he said, that's going to hurt the Suns a lot more than it hurts the Timberwolves. And it did. And they're already down by 20 at that point, but that's what happens. So now we move on. I'm not particularly one who says there should be veteran leadership on a team for the sake of having veteran leadership. I think a lot of the veteran leadership they brought in the past to huge deals, whether it be Trevor Ariza, who was here for 10 minutes, or, Tyson Chandler, who signed a pretty big contract to not play a bunch, but they talked about the leadership that he brought. Under the right circumstances, I think a veteran leader gets in Booker's ear. Yeah, there could be that, but it's not, again, it's filling up the cap how you want it, and you're not going to overpay for somebody. I think we're going to stick with the Suns. There's still a lot to get to with the stadium vote that's happening later today, as well as some potential trade rumors. So we're going to take a quick break here on the Brad Sesmat Show. More Suns coming up next. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for Bradford. Before we get going, I know we're going to talk Suns real quick, though I started rambling. And in my rundown, of course, want to talk the Arizona Coyotes real quick. 6-2 in the past couple of weeks, 2 points away from being essentially, in the postseason, would get that eighth seed as we approach the All-Star break. They take on Montreal tonight. That's going to be the last game of the pseudo first half before they head to the All-Star break. And just what this team has done with all the injuries, with, so many key positions being hurt, and the hits just continue to come, and yet they're finding ways to win and finding ways to win against some of the top teams in the NHL. I think that Rick Tocchet and this entire Coyotes team should be commended on just what they've been able to do, and they've flown under the radar for quite a bit, but once we turn the page to 2019, they've been in a different gear, and could just be in position to make a playoff run, which I think no one really expected. I felt like it. A lot of Arizona sports fans felt like it was going to be a barren wasteland, playoff-wise for the next couple of years for these sports teams here in the Valley. So just wanted to talk them just for a second, but now we'll shift gears back to the Phoenix Suns. Big vote today happening with Talking Stick Resort Arena. This is the vote that was postponed a month on the $230 million in renovations that would happen. The Suns would cover $80 million of that. Phoenix taxpayers would cover $150 million of that. And what has been said from the side that are trying to get these renovations done so that they would sign a lease that would keep them in Phoenix until at least 2032, potentially 2040, is that much of this funding will come from various taxes that come from hotels, that come from rental cars. So essentially, the out-of-staters, the snowbirds that we are influxed with right now, would be paying the bulk of that. Right now, I'm not really sure which way it's going to go. I saw that AZ Central's editorial board put out a column, said, do you really want to risk it? Because that could cripple downtown right off the get, or right as it's kind of getting its footing again with ASU downtown is down there now, and they're really starting to revitalize the area. And there's apartment buildings, quality apartment buildings coming up. And younger people want to go and move into that area of town. When the Diamondbacks came in, that was not the case. As a native, I know it was not, the best part of town. So there's a risk in this, whether they vote no or they vote yes. Am I thrilled at the thought of taxpayers, whether it be from out-of-staters or from Arizonans, paying this bill? I'm not thrilled about that. And I think that this will set a precedent, especially for the Diamondbacks as well, because they're going through their own set of issues right now. But the Suns are a little more progressed right now. So if they set a precedent and move out of downtown, does that give the Diamondbacks even more of an incentive to kind of do they have more leverage to go ahead and leave downtown Phoenix? And what would that do for the economy in downtown Phoenix that is starting to rebound? It's going to be tough to say. I'm going to be at that city council meeting. It's at 2:30. It's going to be a huge vote today on what happens with that. The Diamondbacks the Suns seem confident. I've seen support. Various polls have said 70% of people, now that they have had those sets of meetings after postponing it to kind of explain what's going on, the support is adding to it. But there are key members on that city council who are skeptical and think that it is just a bit of a spin job. So it's going to be a big day in Arizona sports, certainly. On the other front, Woj dropped a Woj bomb yesterday regarding Mike Connolly and Mark Gasol for the Grizzlies. Mike Connolly, the point guard, he was Greg Oden's point guard over at Ohio State and has been a pretty darn good point guard, over the years. They're making them available for trade. I've seen a lot of people who know a lot about the Suns and a lot about basketball saying you can't make a deal quick enough for Mike Connolly. The Suns, in a positionless basketball world that we now live in, where the Suns have like 14 wings, and then Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, even in positionless basketball where it's a bunch of shooters and it's getting quicker, the one position you need is not necessarily a point guard, but a distributor. De'Anthony Melton's done a pretty nice job as a stopgap and brought defensive intensity, certainly. But they need a long-term fix if they want to contend in what is this gauntlet of the West. Or do you want to continue to be in the lottery? Mike Connolly is the best name that's come out as a point guard option that's realistic. I know last year Damian Lillard was one, but I don't know how real that was. I don't think it was. Connolly's numbers are good this year. Right now, he is at just under 20 points a game, 6 assists per game. He has a good defensive rating. The concerning thing here, this year he's played 46 games. Last year, 12 games. The year prior, 68 games. The year 2015 to 2016, 56 games. And you really get to, he hasn't really played, he's played one season and a half in one completed season since 2015. There's injury concerns there. His contract is a monster. So that would certainly force the Suns to be creative. But if they feel like there's maybe a package in there, so who do you send over? Do you send over Josh Jackson? Do you send over TJ Warren? To make the money work, I would assume you would need TJ Warren and Ryan Anderson in that deal. Ryan Anderson isn't doing much, maybe providing some leadership. I wouldn't worry about seeing him go. TJ Warren, I think, is a nice player and can develop into something that's really nice. But there is that influx of guards, and you have to make the money work. Now, the key is these draft picks that Memphis is wanting. They're rebuilding. That's the reason they're putting their two-star players on the market. Do they want what will be a potential top three pick, top five pick from the Suns? Or are they content with the Milwaukee pick? I think, okay, go ahead, send that over. But it all depends on that pick. And I know that, the Suns have more than enough youth right now. But if you can potentially, depending on where they land, I know it's not a strong year for point guards. If you can find a young point guard there, is that the way to go? Do you do what the Kings do with the Aaron Fox, where they drafted him in the top five, and he is looking like an absolute stud right now? The Suns had a chance at him, but that's when they had two or three point guards, and they needed defensive intensity. They brought in Josh Jackson. I think that was, at that time, the right move. I don't think it necessarily panned out to that. Josh Jackson's going to be a nice player in this league, but De'Aaron Fox right now is on another level. So this trade that hasn't even happened yet, or negotiations haven't even happened yet, but I don't know how much sense it makes for the Suns, given his injury history, his salary, and what they would ask for him. Again, if there's not a ton of a huge market, which I think there will be a hot market for him, And I don't think you can not spare that top pick, whatever the protection may be. I think you're going to have to include that. And I would hesitate towards that. I know, Ryan McDonough was all about acquiring assets and to the point where you want to roll your eyes. But this is a pretty important asset. And there is a point guard or two that you could go get and develop. But again, it's then getting that veteran leadership. He's also not on the timeline. That timeline where most of these guys are under 25, 24, he's 31 right now. He has logged a lot of time. Like I said, he played with Greg Oden at Ohio State. And he has logged a ton of time, and he's reached the 80 game mark four times since 2007. Is that a risk you want to take? That is why James Jones is getting paid the big bucks as the interim GM. So coming up next, Brad has a great interview with Tony Dungy. They cover the Cardinals, what they should do in the NFL draft, as well as Tony's new book. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussman Show.
Through the years, I've mentioned in doing this that I've led men through books like Uncommon and Quiet Strength that Tony Dungy has penned, that I'm a big fan of getting into people's lives through sports. And when I heard that Tony has a new book out, The Soul of a Team, it's his eighth book, I had to get him on. The Hall of Fame coach joins us for a few minutes on the book, Herm Edwards, What Would You Do With the Number One Overall Pick, Officiating. We got like 8-9 minutes with the coach. And Tony, let's just start out with this book. And I'm a big fan, as I've said. I've led guys through your books in the past. Why this book? Where are you going with it?
Well, I've been asked probably over the last 12 years since I retired to speak to a lot of groups, business groups, a lot of people, high schools. How do you put together a winning team? How do you put together that organization that just shines from top to bottom? And so, and kind of putting those thoughts together, I thought it might be nice to put it on paper and let people read about it. They're biblical principles, but they're principles I used that I learned from Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, the coaches that I played for. And a lot of it is common sense, but a lot of it really, helps people kind of formulate, hey, if I'm a leader, what do I do to build a winner? If I'm a teammate, how can I be the best teammate to help us all succeed?
And you say that a lot of it is common sense, but because we're men, we're always on the run. We don't have that person pouring into us or beating us over the head or just pulling us aside saying, hey, you might want to think a little bit more about being with your family. Am I getting to what this book is about?
It is. It really is because the first principle, SOUL is kind of an acronym, and the first principle is selflessness, and that's what the S stands for. Mm. How do you take yourself out of things? How do you be the best teammate you can be? How do you be the best family member while you're helping your team grow and do well? And to do that, you have to take your individual ambitions out, and that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of the book is, well, how do we create that environment that helps people do that? How do you train people and encourage people to be selfless when our world seems to be about, putting yourself first and getting ahead?
That's really good. I'm not going to ask you to go in depth, but what are the O and the U and the L? What do they stand for in SOUL?
The O is for owning your role, and on a great team, you can't have all-star players. Everybody has a role, and you have to know your role, but more importantly, be willing to accept it and flourish in your role. So that's what the O is for. U is for unity and being together, not necessarily being all the same.
Yes.
Different environments, different backgrounds, different thoughts, but unified in purpose. And then the L is really what brings everything together, and that's having a larger purpose. If you are the leader of the group, you can't just tell people to be selfless. You can't tell people to be unified. You have to have that common ground that pulls everybody together. And yes. I remember when I was a rookie with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Art Rooney Sr. was our owner, and he would talk to all the young guys when you made the team. Hey, you're a Pittsburgh Steeler now. When you put that uniform on, we want you to have pride. But we want you to know you're representing the city of Pittsburgh. You're representing the National Football League. We want to make Pittsburgh a better place to live. We want people to be proud of the city. So we did take pride. We felt like we were representing more than just ourselves, the 47 players. And that was our larger purpose. And I think that's one of the reasons why we played so well together.
I have to now get books for my whole staff because this is solid stuff. It's great stuff. Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy with us for a couple of minutes. The name of the book, The Soul of a Team. Switching gears, the number one overall pick is owned by the Arizona Cardinals. They have a young quarterback in Josh Rosen. Tony, I don't know how much you saw of Arizona this season in Football Night in America. You have a lot going on there. It wasn't good. It wasn't pleasant. They changed coaches already, bringing Cliff Kingsbury. Number one overall pick, do you go with a quarterback? They already have Josh Rosen. Do you trade down? Building a team, a franchise, how do you go about that?
Well, I think in this day and age, the two big things you have to have to be successful, you have to have that quarterback who everyone believes in and who can elevate you. And then the next thing you have to have is a person to rush the quarterback. So if you believe that Josh Rosen is your guy and you were correct in your assessment, then to me, I would stay right where I am and take Joey Bosa's brother, the Ohio State defensive end, and say, you know what, now I've got my second guy to lead them. You know, you can go back to Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith. We had it in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning and Dwight Freeney. When you have those guys on both sides of the ball, it makes a huge difference. The Rams right now, NFC champion, Jared Goff, quarterback they believe in, Aaron Donald, guy who creates the pressure. So that's kind of where I would lean. Now, that's an organizational decision. You've got to be sold. If you're sold on Josh Rosen, then I would move forward and wouldn't hesitate. But if there's some doubt and you have a chance and you think there's a franchise quarterback, if you think Kyler Murray is the guy, you've got to get him first. But I think they're good. I think they feel good about Josh Rosen. And to me, that's how I'd proceed.
The temptation of trading down. I worked alongside of Bobby Bethard and Billy Devaney on a broadcast and in San Diego and saw them with a number one overall pick. You can trade down and get a lot.
You can trade down and get a lot. But how many times do you have the opportunity to get that star impact player? And impact players and stars make a difference in this league. So, yes, if you get a chance to get a John Elway or a Bruce Smith, you know, those guys, that's who wins games for you. So I would kind of resist the temptation to say we can get more as long as you, you know, again, you got to feel good about your quarterback and where he is. If you do, then I would take that number one star player and not look back.
A couple other questions. The name of the book is The Soul of a Team. Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy pens it down, puts it together, and it's a great pickup for you. It's his eighth book that he's put together. Herm Edwards, your view of Herm jumping out of college, out of the broadcast booth into the college and what he's done out here at Arizona State.
Well, when he told me he was going to do it, I said, you're crazy. It's not something that I would do at our age, and Herm and I are the same age. But he loves the environment. He loves to teach. He's going to be great for those young men, and he is so excited. I was happy. They had a wonderful first year, from what I'm told, did a great job recruiting. I would want my sons to play for him.
Yeah.
I think that is the biggest endorsement. I think he's going to energize everything there at Arizona State, and I think he's going to have a great career.
When you say you'd want your sons to play for him, why?
He'll teach them how to win, but he'll teach them how to win the right way, and he'll teach them about life. I can remember sitting in his meeting rooms when he was my assistant head coach, coached the defensive backs, and you know, he'd have those guys ready and all their assignments and everything. But he was talking about how to live, how to do things right on and off the field. And he's never going to let that go. His background, his dad been in the military, he kind of grew up under that environment. There's a right way to do things. There's a wrong way. There's a way to represent your family, your country, your community, your team. He's going to build all that into everybody that plays for him.
Last question. If people pick up this book, what are they going to get out of The Soul of a Team?
I think they're going to get the sense of how to come together as a unit, as a group, whatever that is, whether it's your family group, whether it's your business, your neighborhood. how are you going to come together and be the best that you can be? How do I become a good leader if I'm in charge of a group? How do I become a good follower if I'm a teammate or a member of the group? To do everything within my power to make our group succeed.
Appreciate the time, Coach. Best of luck down the road and with the book. It's a pleasure visiting with you.
Thank you very much. Great to be on with you.
Hall of Fame Coach Tony Dungy with us there for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.